Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So is the oil blowout tarring President Obama? Is it Spike Lee?
I mean, that's just who he is. You know, he's very, as I know, as I've seen, calm, cool, collected. But one time, go off. And there's any one time to go off. This is it.
Spike Lee with Anderson Cooper the other day, the movie maker and champion of Katrina survivors. Remember, he made that big documentary about the Gulf after Katrina. That's why Spike Lee is getting into this act and getting impatient with the president's response to the BP oil disaster. So let's talk about what's fair and unfair to blame on the president. There have been some shifting positions. We welcome Jonathan Alter, author of The Promise, President Obama Year One, as well as a columnist for Newsweek. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Brian.
And listeners, we ask you, how much are you angry at President Obama with respect to the Gulf oil spill? Are you angry at him for not being angry enough, as Spike Lee kind of was there? Or do you think he could have been doing more to actually prevent the spill, stop the spill, or make sure that the spill is now being cleaned up? How much of this rubs off on President Obama, according to you? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Jonathan, I want to play one more clip of Obama getting maybe as furious as he gets. He uses this that word in this exchange with Larry King.
I am furious at this entire situation because this is an example of where somebody didn't think through the consequences of their actions. And it is imperiling not just a handful of people. This is imperiling an entire way of life and an entire region for potentially years.
Has the company felt your anger?
Well, they have felt the anger, but what I haven't seen as much as I'd like is the kind of rapid response.
So, Jonathan Alter, when my father got furious, it didn't sound like that. That was calm.
Yeah. Well, you know, I talked to so many people for The Promise who said the same thing, which is that in all their years of association with him, they've never actually seen him flip out. They've never seen him get really livid in a way that, you know, you and I would be familiar with. For instance, you know, Paul Volcker told me, sometimes I feel like just shaking the president and saying, get excited about this. He was talking about the economy. But Volcker went on to say, you know, he knows more about the economy than any president I've dealt with, and I've dealt with all of them back to Lyndon Johnson. So what you have here is this combination of a deep thinker, cerebral guy, with someone who really does try to strip emotion out of his reaction to policy decisions. And the problem is that when you do that, you need to put that emotion back in when you're in the public part of the job, because in the theater of the presidency, and the presidency is a theater, you have to be able to express people's anger. So that's where he is falling short right now. And I think on some level, he understands it. When he gets angry, by the way, I have a lot about this in The Promise, he's quietly, icily angry. And in some ways, it's scarier for the people around him, because a little curt, come on, guys, stings all the more because they know that he doesn't flip out and rip your face off.
So here's another clip. Fat Allen from the Coast Guard, who I guess the administration sent out. He's representing the administration when he was on some of the Sunday talk shows yesterday. And here's 9 seconds of his language and his tone.
Well, what we're trying to do is fight this thing offshore. And this is a war. It's an insidious war because it's attacking, you know, 4 states at one time. And it comes from different directions depending on the weather.
Now, he's not yelling and screaming, but he's saying this is a war. This is an insidious war. And he came off like the military guy that I guess he is yesterday. And Did they send him out to the Sunday talk shows because he looks like he's got this toughness that people are requesting from the government?
Yeah, he's the new Norman Schwarzkopf. Remember him from the first Gulf War. And so he talked today in his briefing about the enemy. The flowing oil is the enemy. And so they are militarizing this whole thing. It's the right decision. It is late. Their reflexes were once again slow. But Obama believes in a kind of a slow and steady wins the race philosophy. You know, the day after the election, when he went to begin to tell his immediate people what he was going to do, who he was going to appoint to his administration, he went over to a friend of his office, a guy named John Rogers, who runs a fund in Chicago, and this is where he did his early transition work out of. And Rogers is a Warren Buffett disciple, and he's got a turtles all over his materials that he sends out to his investors. And his investing motto is slow and steady wins the race. That is Obama's basic approach. He says, I don't get wee-weed up about cable news. He doesn't like to deal on our timetable to react the way we in the media demand that he acts. He wants to react on his timetable. And he's paying a price for that now, and I think you are seeing some adjustments.
Laverne in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Laverne. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are you thinking about the president and the oil spill?
Well, I don't think that this is his fault. I mean, as much as any other politician who takes money from big oil, I don't think this is Obama's fault, the oil spill. And I'm not sure if there's anything more he could do to stop it. I mean, I think in all of this, I think the names that we should be talking about in terms of putting blame is like our Dick Cheney, and no one's much talking about that. So no, I don't blame him for the oil spill. I do blame, you know, our campaign finance system and the way we, you know, how people get into politics. I blame him as far as that's concerned, but I place no blame on him for this oil spill. And secondly, I'm fine with the way he is behaving, and I think it says a lot about us as an electorate that we're demanding that he get up in front of the microphone and do a rain dance. My father sort of Obama kind of reminds me of my father, who was a very happy, jolly person, but when he was angry, his eyes would turn into slits, and he would get really – and he was tall, big man. He would get really, really quiet, and when he was yelling at you, he almost whispered.
That's Obama. And that's exactly what he's like in private.
Right. And it was very scary. And so that's who he is. And so I just don't think – I mean, he is about kind of getting things done. I can't say I'm an expert on how much he is getting done, but it's who he is. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to put on a Broadway show for us. He's not going to act like the president. And I kind of find it really, really refreshing after the 8 years of sloganeering that we've had. And I think it really says a lot about us, and I think it says much more about the media – that they have actually really made this an issue, because most of the people I talk to and I move in different kinds of circles kind of feel the way I feel. Like, well, this is how, you know, we don't want you to get up there and try to get an Oscar, you know, try to, you know, for best male performance. And so I think it's I'd rather see, you know, what he's doing in the Gulf. And I like how he's really not – I know Mr. Alter said he's kind of making adjustments in that, but I kind of like how Obama doesn't – when the media is like, you got to be more disciplined, how he doesn't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I like it. Even though it may hurt him, he just doesn't do it. You know, he won't change his behavior.
Laverne, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah,
okay.
Well said. And I think she speaks for a lot of people. She certainly speaks for a good percentage of the people who are calling us right now. So maybe one of the questions is he giving up on being himself? Because it does look like he is reacting to this demand for him to look angrier. That was the reason that he went on Larry King, I think, the other day to say that he's furious. Maybe the reason that he's sending Chad Allen out. He is trying to dance the dance, even though that's against his instinct.
No, I don't think he's going to make that many concessions and stop being who he is, because he knows that that's his ace in the hole, his authenticity. And as Marty Nesbitt, I quote Marty Nesbitt, who's his best friend, one of his two best friends, and he and Eric Whitaker, his other best friend, say basically the same thing in The Promise, which is the realness is the core, the authenticity is the core. And as Laverne said, he is not going to act. He's not, because if he acts, you know, tries to be an actor, he's going to come across as phony, and his whole thing is he's not a phony. And so you heard him say to Larry King, look, this is not about my anger. And that, I think, really reflects his view. This is about, you know, a whole set of other issues, but the question should not turn on my anger. But I thought Laverne made another really important point at the top, which is I blame a lot of this on Bush and Cheney. You know, I did a story some years ago about how when they were choosing a new chairman for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, they let Ken Lay of Enron interview the candidates and choose who the regulators were going to be. The regulators at the Minerals Management Service in Denver, in the Denver office of the Bush administration, they were literally, not figuratively, literally sleeping with people from the oil industry. So of course they're not regulating. They didn't build in the protections in for a worst case scenario because there was no regulation. This is in tune with one of the main themes that I deal with in my book, which is that Obama's historic mission, unfortunately for him, has been to clean up Bush's messes. And, you know, Don Regan, who was Ronald Reagan's...
Literally.
So this is the perfect metaphor for the Obama presidency. Don Regan, who was Ronald Reagan's chief of staff, said that he was running a shovel brigade. You know, the folks who clean up after the elephants their messes when they leave the circus. That's what Obama has had to do on Wall Street, on the auto bailouts, on the bank bailouts, on Afghanistan, which turned out to be a much bigger mess than anybody anticipated, and now on this. So what fascinates me is how does he react behind closed doors to this function? And part of his reaction has been to say privately, I haven't been blaming Bush enough. You know, Reagan blamed Jimmy Carter for years. Roosevelt blamed Herbert Hoover for years.
Why doesn't he come out and do it? On the ABC roundtable yesterday on their Sunday morning show, you know, you had Arianna Huffington and Marcus Melitzis from Daily Kos debating Liz Cheney over whether this was Bush and Cheney's fault.
Feels he's really ticked about it in private, all the messes that he was left. That's one of the reasons that he insisted on pushing forward on health care reform, even when all the people around him, Rahm Emanuel, told me I begged him not to do this. He wanted to do something that was his initiative, not just cleaning up after Bush. So, but I don't think he wants to publicly blame Bush in a big way because that wouldn't be classy and presidential.
But George in the West Village still wants more, right, George?
Yeah, I think the president, he can act cool, but he has to act. It's not to act as an actor, but to act by firing people who didn't do their job. So you're talking about cleaning up after Bush. The people want to see him take action, not get angry, take action.
Well, I think you make a great point, and there's a difference between those two versions of the word act. They did fire the head of the Minerals Management Service, who had been an Obama appointee. She was just in over her head. But you could make a good argument that she should have moved more quickly over the last year to clean up that agency. This question of whether to fire somebody came up when they were undermining the president on Afghanistan. And I have a big chunk in The Promise about how Joe Biden wanted somebody fired over that. But they had just fired General McKiernan a few months earlier, so they couldn't fire the folks who were boxing in, manipulating, and arguably insubordinate over Afghanistan. So the question of who to fire is a tough one.
And there was another time people wanted Obama to be really angry. It was the banks and bonuses.
Yes.
And then he made what many consider an overreaction by going after bonuses and claiming he would tax them 50%. He's caught between his base and his instincts in a way, right?
In The Promise, I'm pretty critical of the president on dealing with the banks because I think he had leverage over them in early 2009 and chose not to use it then. He bought Tim Geithner and Larry Summers' argument that the banks were too brittle and so he shouldn't dictate terms to them.
Right as he started in office. 2009 at the beginning.
Yeah, right at the beginning. He should have used his leverage when he had it. Now, he made some right decisions, too. He was right not to nationalize them, but he could have restructured them in several different ways. And trying to do it now with this legislation, in some ways it's too late, and this is weak T legislation, better than nothing, but not as good as it could have been.
All right. Annals of the Obama administration being defined more than they want to be by the oil spill in the Gulf.
And
last
by,
word.
And by the problem with being president is you don't get to choose your battles. They choose you. An event, as Ralph Waldo Emerson said, events are in the saddle and tend to ride mankind.
The Promise, President Obama, Year One. Jonathan Alter, thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, media blogger Rebecca Sklar with more on the Internet and your brain. Jonathan, what do you think the Internet is doing to your brain?
Oh, it's maybe shortening my attention span, and I need to get away from what my wife calls Blackie, my BlackBerry, and focus more intently on my family. So
you've got a pet name for it.
Yeah,
Blackie.
It's really a problem. So
I'm trying
to wean myself off it when I'm home as much as I can.
And Rebecca Sklar will ask, is the Internet the new old boys club as well? Stay with us.